340 now, and you can be protected in just 15 minutes or less with just a call. If your car has less than 130,000 miles, call 800-560-7340 now. That's 800-560-7340. 800-560-7340.
Another high-level official member of the Obama administration's economic team is stepping down. Correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
Alan Krueger is the Treasury Department's Assistant Secretary for Economic Policy. He's leaving the post next month to return to Princeton University to continue an academic career. It comes on the heels of some other high-profile departures. Concern over the sluggish pace of the economic recovery is a key issue in the upcoming congressional races, in which Democrats are expected to face heavy losses. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Officials say Iran has joined in the high-level talks on Afghanistan that are part of a renewed push to end the war there. The U.S. Special Envoy for the region says Washington had no problem with Iran's presence in the talks in Rome today, which also include senior Afghan, UN, and NATO officials. Richard Holbrook says the U.S. recognizes that Iran has a role to play because of its long border with Afghanistan. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute on the Constitution. Now, why is this important? Well, it's very important because we are a nation of law. There's a subversive group, controls both political parties, dedicated to globalism, and dedicated to the destruction of the sovereignty of our nation. This is subversive. These people working through the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, controlling most of the major media outlets, most of our major banks, most of our major corporations, most of our major, certainly educational institutions, are able and are progressively using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a one-world government, which is why we have troops stationed in 130 nations. We have bases in 720 nations. But all of this is subversive. We have a constitution that, of course, limits what the federal government can do and certainly protects us from federal government intrusion into our lives, as would be the case with Obamacare, which is blatantly unconstitutional and violates this concept that the federal government was there with limitations put on it so people could be free, the function of the Ninth and Tenth Amendment. So until the American people, of course, understand the Constitution, they don't understand what protects their freedom. and they don't because they don't teach the Constitution as basic precepts in our schools or our law schools or universities, because this subversive group controls the major universities. They finance them, and of course through the NEA, National Education Association, they control what's taught in our schools. Well, to circumvent that, Michael Perutka, the Institute, have actually come up with a plan program to teach people about the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to learn, you've got to teach others, you've got to take their course. So, well, that is the background, David. Pick up the story about America's amazing Constitution.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, and you're absolutely right. The subversive elements have basically gained control of the media and academia, the gateways through which most people learn about the Constitution. A friend of mine was having a conversation with a DJ at a wedding reception, and the DJ asked him what he did, and he said he was involved as an attorney and was teaching the Constitution to people. And this DJ said to him, well, you must be thrilled that Obama's in the White House. To have a constitutional attorney as president must just be wonderful. And my friend thought he was joking. He said, you're not serious, are you? I mean, just about everything Obama has done since he's taken office is a violation of the Constitution. And the guy was shocked to hear this. And so he had an opportunity to just share some of the basic principles of our founders with this individual who, like perhaps most Americans, are so benighted because they've been successfully lied to about the form of government we have. You hear all the time that we're a democracy. We are not a democracy. We are a republic, and there's a vast difference between the two. And people have been lied to successfully about what the purpose of government is all about. Our founders made it blatantly plain as they declared independence from Great Britain that there is a creator God. Our rights come from the creator God and from him alone, not from any human institution, certainly not from human civil government. Our rights come from God, and the sole purpose of human civil government is to secure and protect those God-given rights. That's the whole philosophy of government in a nutshell, and it's the opposite of the philosophy of the socialists that are in control of Congress and the White House and the Supreme Court as well. They believe in redistribution of wealth. Obama put it, well, we're just going to spread the wealth. Well, that means stealing from one person to give to another person, which is all socialism does. And it does it in a very poor way of redistributing wealth and destructive of our God-given rights. So our founders crafted our Constitution, the seven articles of our Constitution, to fulfill that purpose expressed by the Declaration of Independence, that is to secure and protect the God-given rights of the individual. In fact, the oath of the president states that blatantly. He takes an oath to the Constitution, not to the people that elected him, not to some socialist philosophy of government, but to the philosophy of government that is expressed in the Declaration, and the nuts and bolts of it are worked out in the Constitution, which is to secure and protect the God-given rights of the people, and the exact opposite of what Obama has done in the White House. But so when we look at the Constitution, our founders, as they ratified that Constitution, were not satisfied that the protections for life, liberty, property, and all your God-given rights, that they were enough. And so they insisted, in other words, the Constitution never would have been ratified by many of the states without the promise of a Bill of Rights to follow. And indeed, a Bill of Rights was the first job that Congress had when it met under the new Constitution, and the first 10 amendments of our Constitution are that Bill of Rights, which I liken to a brick wall placed around the playing field that is the seven articles of our Constitution. The seven articles say what the government can do, what it cannot do, and then the Bill of Rights puts a wall at the sidelines and the end zone of that playing field to say, hey, that ball is never going out of bounds. Well, we look at the subsequent amendments, as we began to do last month, and those subsequent amendments, 11 through 27, many of those punch enormous holes in that brick wall established by our founders of the Bill of Rights to prevent the federal government from getting out of bounds, to prevent it from climbing up into the bleachers where it shouldn't be playing ball, or even getting out of the stadium altogether and a couple blocks away from the stadium, which is in truth where our federal government is now, way outside of the boundaries, way outside of the purpose of government to secure and protect our God-given rights. So when we look at these subsequent amendments, we see that the design of many of these really contributed to the destruction of the form of government that our founders established. Now, I would say that many of these should be repealed. We ought to go after repealing as many of these destroy the form of government, but we need to understand them while they are still law. We need to understand them just as we understood the Constitution itself and the original Bill of Rights, the first 10, that is what the founders, what the framers, what those who drafted and those who ratified these amendments, what they meant by these words. Because the same thing that's happened to our Constitution and the same thing that's happened to our Bill of Rights, primarily the courts, have twisted the words to mean something other than what they originally meant, and they have done the same with the subsequent amendments to our Constitution.
We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb. Tom, what makes the Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality products available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
The fall run has started and the cattle are moving. Now it's time to finish the year with strong profits. We know bovine respiratory disease, or BRD, can be a really big problem, especially with bad weather. And while you can't control the weather, you can control the impact BRD has on your wallet. Only Draxxin offers a 14-day duration of efficiency, giving you the best chance to optimize your return on investment. And in clinical studies, Draxxin's been shown to be more effective than Mycotyl or Nuflor for the control of BRD in cattle at high risk of developing BRD, and more effective than Bitril, Mycotyl, or Nuflor for the first treatment of BRD. Talk to your veterinarian or Pfizer Animal Health sales representative and ask about Draxxin today. Do not use Draxxin tulathromycin injectable solution in calves to be processed for veal. Pre-slaughter withdrawal time has not been determined for pre-ruminating calves. Effects on reproductive performance, pregnancy, and lactation have not been determined. Draxxin has a pre-slaughter withdrawal time of 18 days.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution, talking about the importance of our Constitution, which is the law of the land, and the subversives there don't want you to understand that they are violating our Constitution as they move us away from American sovereignty into this one world government. That's their goal. That's been the goal for thousands of years. It's coming to fulfillment today. Go right ahead, David.
Well, as we talked last time about the 11th Amendment, which prevented lawsuits against the states, and I think that's really a bad idea that somehow the state can escape a lawsuit that in which it's violated the rights of a citizen of another state, that is, a citizen of their own state could sue them, but not a citizen of another state. And then we talked about the 12th Amendment, altering the Electoral College so that the system that was in place to that point in time is that the person who came in second in the Electoral College became the vice president, which means the president and vice president were opponents in the presidential campaign. That was changed in 1804, the 12th Amendment. And then we mentioned that there wasn't much activity at all in trying to amend the Constitution until the 13th Amendment of 1865, which effectively abolished slavery. And we mentioned that it was kind of odd to talk about the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery because most people think that Abraham Lincoln abolished slavery, that what he did in the Emancipation Proclamation actually abolished slavery. It did not. In fact, the evidence is that it did not free one slave at all, and you might think, David, you're crazy. Who would hold such a wild opinion? Well, I'll just go to the National Archives website and look at their article on the Emancipation Proclamation, and they admit right there that it did not free one slave. For example, here in the state of Maryland, which was under control of the federal troops. In fact, it was a military district. It had been conquered and was under the military control. Not one slave was freed in the state of Maryland by the Emancipation Proclamation. Likewise, wherever the Union Army controlled areas of the South, like Louisiana, not one slave was freed. The only slaves that were supposedly freed by the Emancipation Proclamation were those slaves who were not in territory controlled by the Union Army, which would be, you know, like us saying to, I don't know, Yugoslavia, we're going to dictate something regarding how your government happens in Yugoslavia when we have no warrant, no right to do so. So it's really a political propaganda piece that Lincoln decided to pull out because the poll numbers, you might say, in his day were going against him in terms of the war and the people's opinion of regarding the war, particularly internationally, were shifting away, and so he had to do something desperate to try to regain support. So the 13th Amendment then freed slaves, saying neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. And this case was decision was added to the final phrase, which is a very dangerous phrase, is Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation, essentially giving Congress a blank check not only to determine whatever it needed to determine regarding this article, but whatever legislation it thought necessary. So this kind of open power grab by Congress vis-a-vis the 13th Amendment was also expressed in the 14th Amendment, the 15th Amendment, the 18th Amendment, the 19th Amendment, the 23rd and the 24th, and also in the 26th Amendment, the result being Congress has been granted enormous expansion of its power through these clauses in each of those subsequent amendments. And so this is a very, very bad idea. You don't give Washington, D.C. a blank check for power in any way, shape, or form. That'd be like, you know, going to somebody who's on the street, living on the street as an alcoholic and say, here, let me give you the key to the brewery. You can go drink as much as you want. You can get yourself blindly drunk and you could destroy your life. Here, take the key to the brewery and have all that you want. No, you never give Congress any such unlimited power. But it illustrates what happened as a result of that war, which I think is the most accurate way to describe it, is the war to prevent Southern independence. The South was seceding from the Union. Lincoln claimed they had no right to secede from the Union, but that is actually a lie. And the Ninth Amendment proves that that is, and the Tenth Amendment proves that that is a lie, because the Tenth Amendment says that any powers not granted to the federal government through our Constitution are reserved to the states. And obviously there's nothing anywhere in the Constitution whatsoever that makes any statement that claims that no state can secede from the Union once it has joined the Union. Therefore, the power to secede is one of those undelegated powers that the Tenth Amendment reserves to the states. Yes, the states had a right to secede if they chose to. Lincoln was wrong in trying to prevent their secession and basically saying, you're only going to leave this Union in a body bag, which is what Lincoln did, and proceeded to kill 600,000 more that have been killed in all the wars that we've been involved with as a nation. All of them put together do not equal the number of dead bodies piled up by Mr. Lincoln's war, as it was even called in the North, as those who in the North opposed his war. So anyway,
I think people need to know that there were almost 2,000 people in the North killed in the draft riots. The people did not want to be drafted to write, to fight in a senseless war. And they rioted, and the troops moved in and shot down the rioters, and they killed 2,000 rioters, people who did not want to be involved. And they used ruthless oppression at that time. You'll never hear that discussed in your textbooks today. It's covered in The Creature from Jekyll Island, a wonderful book by Ed Griffin, but never mentioned in our textbooks because they've simply rewritten the history of the Civil War.
Well, that's absolutely right. In fact, in our bookstore at iotconline.com, we carry several books that detail the history of this, and it's quite eye-opening to read the true history of what took place. For example, The Real Lincoln by Tom DiLorenzo, and Lincoln Unmasked is another one. And so there's a number of books that, if people are interested, they go to our website, iotconline.com, just click the store button and put in the search engine there, Lincoln, and you'll see a list of materials that we have looked at and read, and see that these are accurate portrayals of what took place. And you might wonder, well, why are on this whole thing? What's important about this is that the destruction of the form of government our founders created began with that terrible war, completely unnecessary war, because that war was not about slavery. Read Lincoln's first inaugural address. He says he had no intention of touching the institution of slavery whatsoever. Read his own words. He only began to talk about slavery because he knew it would gain him political points, particularly with foreign powers who might weigh in either on the side of the South or the North, depending on its position. So it had nothing to do with slavery. It had everything to do with expanding the power of the federal government to become tyrannical and to crush the right powers of the states. The states had enormous powers, according to our founders. Read the Federalist Paper 45, the last three paragraphs. The states were to have the wide-ranging powers. The federal government was to have very restricted powers. This war, Mr. Lincoln's war, reversed that, meaning the states were being stripped of their powers. The first power that he stripped the states of was the power to secede from the Union. And just think of it personally, and if you joined a health fitness club because you felt you needed to work out more regularly and vigorously, and you fulfilled your commitment, paid all your dues, and you had to fulfill that commitment for a year, and at the end of the year you decided, you know, I'm just not using this as much as I thought I would, and it cost more than I intended, I think I'm going to end my membership. Well, what if the owner of the club came out and pulled out a .45, put it to your head, and said, you cannot leave this club except in a body bag? You'd say, well, wait a minute, give me my contract. Let me look at the details of that contract. Where in there does it say I can't leave this club except in a body bag? And it's nowhere. Our Constitution nowhere says any state cannot leave. And the reason the South wanted to secede is they believed that the deal that was designed in the Constitution was now being used in an unfavorable way towards them. They actually believed certain provisions of the Constitution were being misinterpreted. And it's fascinating, if you actually study the Constitution they proposed and ratified for the Confederacy, it parallels the U.S. Constitution very closely with only a few minor changes. They believe there was a few areas that the powers in the North were violating their God-given rights. So they basically proposed almost the same Constitution with some variations to prevent some of the abuses they saw occurring. And Lincoln didn't want any of that. He wanted the states subservient to a strong, centralized, all-powerful government in Washington, D.C. In other words, what we have today is the legacy of Abraham Lincoln, which is why there's that huge monument to him in Washington, D.C. that everybody reveres. Well, he was a tyrant, and he destroyed the design our founders had of the balance of power between the state and the federal government, the states having the larger balance of the power, the federal government having the smaller balance of the power. And so this phrase at the end of the 13th and all these other amendments, Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation, was a very, very disastrous move. And it was part of the result of that war was to crush state powers and to put those powers in the hands of the federal government. Now, it's interesting that early courts ruled that the 13th Amendment simply abolished the institution of slavery, but did nothing to affect any other forms of discrimination or any other forms of segregation. This was civil rights cases in 1883. And there was one dissenting justice, Justice Harlan, that said, well, no, the 13th Amendment did more than abolish slavery as an institution. It also abolished the badges and incidents of slavery that are reminiscent of the slave era, such as segregation, denial of civil rights, et cetera. So he was dissenting, and he didn't win the day. But it's interesting, years later, when this was revisited in 1968, his dissenting view by then had been evolved into the predominant view, the majority view in the case of Jones v. Mayer in 1968 Supreme Court case, view that said not only did it do away slavery, but the badges and incidents of slavery, such as segregation and so on, also had to be done away with. Now, I'm not saying these are good things, that discrimination and segregation were good things. What I am saying is it's not the power of the federal government to interfere in the lives of the states, and that is left to the states and should be in the hands of the states. Now, I need to mention that this 13th Amendment is extremely hypocritical. That is, it's enforced against state governments, but the federal government has been the biggest slave owner and slave controller in the history of our country. What I'm referring to? The draft. The draft up until World War I was never instituted for anything but what would be a protective war, a war where our country had been invaded. Let's say the War of 1812 is a good example. We were invaded by England in the War of 1812, and it was right that every able-bodied man who was part of the militia had to fight in that war. You had to defend your country, and most people would say, yes, of course I'll defend my country. We've been invaded. But it was understood and practiced that never, ever would anybody be required by a draft to fight in a foreign war, that is, to go across the sea to Europe and fight a war over there, or to even go into Mexico. When we did invade Mexico, it was all volunteer army. Never was there people drafted and forced to serve in that regard. And so the draft, Woodrow Wilson instituted it, well, actually, go back, Abraham Lincoln, as you said, there were draft riots because people understood if they were being forced, and by the way, the war between the states was a foreign war. They were being forced to go fight against the South in that country of the South against their will. And as you mentioned, 2,000 or more were killed in rioting and refusing to be part of this evil scheme, this draft. So Lincoln was the first one to institute the draft. So here it is. Yeah, we're going to eliminate slavery by creating slaves. Wait a minute. What kind of hypocrisy is that? Well, then Woodrow Wilson did the same in World War I. We're going to, you know, make the world safe for democracy. Well, wait a minute. We're not a democracy. You know, this is going to be the war to end all wars. What a big lie that was. All the things that Woodrow Wilson did with this was, you know, a violation of your God-given rights. Why should we be young men in our land be forced to go to war in a foreign war, fighting somebody else's battles over there in France and so on? That's not our business. It should never have been our business. And the draft really is a form of slavery.
Hold on. Individual we'll be doesn't back have the freedom. A moment with Pastor David Whitney.
In Washington, out-of-control politicians pile up mountains of debt. They pass trillions in new spending, unprecedented government intervention in our economy. They're chipping away at your rights, chipping away at our freedom, and now they're chipping away at the Second Amendment. They're surrendering precious sovereignty to global organizations, like the United Nations, surrendering our freedom. But you can stop them right now. On November 2nd, vote Ken Buck for Senate. Ken Buck has the courage to defend our Second Amendment rights. Ken Buck will defend our freedom. That's why Ken Buck has been endorsed by the National Rifle Association. Vote freedom first. Vote for Ken Buck. The National Rifle Association Political Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. Find us on the web at nrapvf.org. That's nrapvf.org.
Starline Christian School, in operation since 1980 and state licensed, is a well-rounded educational opportunity for your children. Family-centered with Bible time, structured and social academic programs. Starline is located at 2418 19th Avenue in Greeley, Colorado. Close to Centennial Park, UNC, the hospital, Greeley Mall, and two blocks from Jackson Elementary. Transportation is also available to the following schools: University, Montfort, Meeker, Krista McCullough, AM Kindergarten, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, and Frontier and Chapelo. Hours of operation are Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. for children 2.5 to 12 years old. Morning preschool, 8:30 to 12:30, including lunch, or 8:30 to 11:30 with no lunch. Full care child care before and after school programs. Call for more information, 970-353-7541. That's 970-353-7541.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney. And David, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution, get a program, and begin teaching this in their neighborhood so we can once again focus people's attention on our Constitution, the law of our land that is actually certainly not supported by most of our courts or our justices, certainly is not adhered to by the politicians, is not taught in our schools, and yet it is the law of our land and the only protection we have against tyranny.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, we at Institute on the Constitution have designed what we call a host kit, because we know that the idea of teaching the Constitution may be a little intimidating for most folks, and this host kit basically contains the DVD lectures of constitutional law professor John Eidsmo, 12 lectures, and a detailed outline of those lectures in a student notebook with test questions, and then an additional book for the host that has all the answers to the test questions and ideas about how to conduct a class in your community. We have many people doing it in churches, which is very encouraging, because the church needs to train Christian citizens who understand the biblical view of law and government, which is our founders' view, what they crafted our constitutional republic upon. And so that host kit is available either by going to our website, iotconline.com, click the button for the store there, and type in host kit, and that'll give you the options there for the host kit. We do have a few versions left of the VHS, which is about half price of the DVD version, so that if people still have those old machines and want a less expensive version, they can purchase that. We have a few copies of that still remaining. And also, people can go on our website and take this course online. We encourage people to ultimately do it in a classroom setting, but we understand that with busy schedules and so forth, people may be able to do it on the weekends or other times that a class is not meeting. And that, again, is our website, iotconline.com. You can sign up to take the U.S. Constitution course. We have two additional courses there, one on the jury, the very, very vital role that the jury plays in our constitutional republic. And we just have the first of the state constitution courses, just a Maryland state constitution course up there as well. But if people want to call and order either a host kit or any of the materials that we have in our web store, they can call us toll-free at Institute on the Constitution. That toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. Again, that toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. 703-970-9796. And we encourage everybody to study the Constitution. You can take our online course, purchase a host kit, conduct a class, because for us to take back our country, the first step is going to be educating ourselves, educating as wide a circle of friends and neighbors, fellow churchgoers, people at work, educating as many people as we can regarding what our founding fathers said the Constitution really meant, not what it's been twisted to say by the courts and Congress and the White House, but what it actually said, so that we can elect people who are true to the Constitution. That is, they take an oath to uphold the Constitution. We want to hold them to that oath, but we need to know the standard ourselves. We can't trust the politicians to say, oh, yeah, they took an oath to uphold the Constitution. We can trust that they'll do it. Don't trust the politician any further than you could lift him. And that's not very, very far. So we've got to know the standard. And if we know the standard, then we can evaluate candidates. We can ask them the most important questions, like where does law come from? What is the purpose of government? Boy, you could tell an awful lot by hearing the answer to just those two questions from somebody running for office. So those are the kind of things we ought to be doing now in light of November 2nd coming very, very rapidly at us. Those are the tools we are making available to our country, and very encouraged as around the country, classes are happening everywhere, and we see multiplication. We go out and graduate a class of 50, 60 people, and five or six classes spring out of that one class as people get host kits and begin to reach a wider circle. So there's a grass fire that has begun, and we recognize that's what has to happen first before we can reclaim the liberty and freedom that our founders protected by our founding documents. The next step, of course, is then to only put people into office who will uphold that originalist view of our Constitution and not the socialist mess that's been foisted upon us by most of those in office in Washington, D.C. Well, going back to the 13th Amendment, as I mentioned, and many people might think of me as anti-patriotic because I don't believe the draft is a good thing. Nothing could be further from the truth. I am a true patriot that does not want to see the federal government enslaving anyone in a foreign war. If there is to be a foreign war, which our founders said we should avoid all foreign entanglements, including foreign wars, so every foreign war that we've been engaged in, our founders would have said that was not the wise thing to be doing. We should have stayed out of those things and found ways of avoiding those altogether. But the most patriotic thing is to say, no, we don't want the federal government enslaving anyone. If they feel it's necessary to be involved in a foreign war, and most often it's not, then it should be only volunteers for that war.
And we should never be involved in foreign wars. What right do we have to go over there and try to change what's going on in the Muslim world, force them into a democracy, force them, as we did in Iraq, into a government under Sharia law? They didn't have a government under Sharia law before, but when we went in, we put them under Sharia law. Why would we do something like that? Why do we want to actually change the structure of nations throughout the world? And the reason is because our leaders are dedicated to world government, and we want people in positions of power there who go along with our agenda. It's time we brought our troops home from overseas, took away all of our foreign bases, and stopped financing communism in China, and stopped financing communism in Russia, and stopped financing dictatorships throughout the entire world. Then we could live in peace. Go right ahead.
Amen. Well, as the, for example, the 9/11 Commission, whether you agree with their conclusions or not, it's kind of the official report of our government, said that the reason why we had the attacks on 9/11 was because of our foreign policy, because we got entangled in all these things, stirring up trouble in other countries. Well, of course, if you stir up trouble in other countries, somebody might come and stir up trouble in your country. Somebody might come and attack you because you don't like, they don't like the foreign policy activities that you've been engaged in their country. So if we keep our nose out of their business, they're more likely to leave us alone. Well, no guarantee that they'll leave us alone, but at least if you accept the 9/11 Commission's view that that was the reason for those attacks. We hadn't left
those countries. No, I don't think it was. I think it was an inside job because they wanted an excuse to go to war. And only Anybody who ever seen Building 7 come down know it was a controlled demolition, and if that's true, it was all a contrived to justify going to war. Of course, the 9/11 Commission, almost half the people came from the Council on Foreign Relations. Tom Keene, who headed it, came from the Council on Foreign Relations. Lee Hamilton came from the Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission, the very people who wanted to justify going to war overseas. But go ahead.
Oh, I agree with you 100%, Dr. Stan. I'm just throwing the argument out there for those who would even believe the 9/11 Commission, that their whole view was that we shouldn't be involved in these foreign wars. It's interesting that Ron Paul, when he mentioned this, was called crazy. He was labeled an idiot, which is the exact
opposite.
We'll
be back in just a moment here with Pastor David Whitney.
Are you looking for answers for your physical, mental, and financial health? Ganoderma, King of Herbs, is a great start because it works. OrganiGold International brings only the healthiest and purest state of 100% certified organic Ganoderma throughout their products and beverages. For information, call Gus Gowron, 970-587-2101, or check our webpage at www.bridgetscoffee.organigold.com. Once again, call 970-587-2101.
Attention experienced sales professionals. KHNC Radio is looking for strong, independent sales representatives to sell airtime. If you appreciate what KHNC stands for, you're creative, self-motivated, and can work independently and have a proven successful background in commissioned sales, please email your resume to Danette at AmericaNewsNet today. That's Danette at AmericaNewsNet.com. Divine Canine says the temptation to buy a loved one or a child the ultimate gift of a new pet may be more than you bargained for. Of the animals that are euthanized each year, many are holiday or uninformed purchases. Make wise decisions and always have your pets spayed or neutered. That's from Divine Canine at 1141 South Street. Not just another drop-off service, but your complete solution to caring pet sitting. They provide sanitized kennels, appropriate nutrition, indoor and outdoor yards, and quality dog training and pet grooming. For convenient drop-off times and affordable rates, call 303-464-1380.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Pastor David Whitney, for the final segment. Go right ahead.
Well, stepping into the 14th Amendment, which was also one of those amendments closely connected with that war to prevent Southern independence, it was ratified in 1868, and it contains this phrase that's used so repeatedly throughout most Supreme Court cases these days: due process, equal protection, that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Now let's pause right there, because this changed enormously the structure of our government up to that point in time. You see, up to this point, every state chose and decided the standard by which someone would become a citizen of their state. For example, here in Maryland, the citizenship requirements basically is said that you were either going to be a Christian or a Jew. Only Christians and Jews could obtain citizenship and therefore vote in elections and so on. If you were an atheist, sorry, no atheist need apply. If you were a Mohammedan, sorry, no Mohammedans need apply. And many people think, well, that's a kind of strange standard. Why wouldn't you want? But let's back up for a minute and think about this. If you have a faithful Mohammedan, that is somebody who truly follows the teachings of Muhammad, what are they going to do? What are they going to vote for? What are they going to work to change in your society? They're going to work for Sharia law. They're going to work to see that your God-given rights are stripped away from you and from every other citizen in the country. They're going to change the form of government. And so it's a very dangerous thing to allow anyone to become a citizen who's devoted to changing the form of government that you have. You better be very careful and better be very closely observing the individual who's applying for citizenship to see that indeed they are committed to the same purpose of government and the same form of government that you currently have. Otherwise, you'll have a destruction of that that government. So I think it was wise of our founders to leave it with the states to determine the standard by which someone became a citizen. It's true. The states had various standards of citizenship, might differ from state to state in terms of what the citizenship oath involved and so on. But that was fine. That was a good design to leave in the state's powers, because notice what it says here. All persons born in the United States. Some would say this gives the wide open door to anchor babies, you know? That pregnant mom who struggles over the southern border of our country, collapses in a hospital, gives birth to a child. Well, does that make that child a citizen of these United States? Well, people today claim that it does. And that's why anchor babies are such a problem for our country today, with people getting a foothold in this country that have no commitment to our country. They were born in a hospital across the border. They have no understanding. They have no commitment to our culture, no commitment to what it takes to have a constitutional republic and retain that. Well, the 14th Amendment effectively attacked that safe design by which the states were free to determine the standards of eligibility for citizenship, and the states could protect the form of government from those who would be committed to changing it. They could protect their state from any such individual becoming a citizen of their state. This said, the federal government is now going to determine who the citizens are in your state. Your state cannot determine that. And some of the worst examples of what that means is under Ronald Reagan. I mean, many people love him and say, well, he was the greatest president and so on. But I have some problems with things that Ronald Reagan did, one of which was the amnesty that he signed into effect for millions of illegals, people who had broken into our country, broken the law, were living here, and they were granted amnesty so that they could become citizens. What does this mean? It meant the federal government, through the 14th Amendment, was forcing the states to accept these lawbreakers as citizens of their state. They didn't have any choice, you know? And Nevada couldn't say, sorry, we don't want that group of people, those illegals, they broke the law, we're not going to reward them with citizenship, forget it. No, the federal government told them, these people will be the citizens of your state. And that's what the 14th Amendment says. The federal government is the one that gets to determine who the citizens are in the individual states. And, you know, the 14th Amendment was voted down the very first time it was attempted. It was rejected by all of the southern states, including the state that I reside in, the state of Maryland. They all, and some of the northern states, Ohio, rejected it. It was turned down. And you know what the government of Washington, D.C. proceeded to do at that point in time during Reconstruction here, 1868? They went and destroyed all the duly elected governments of the southern states. And they placed, instead of those duly elected governments, they put in a puppet government. A puppet government that would do the biddings of Washington, D.C., and then they ratified the 14th Amendment by these puppet governments. Now, I want to ask you, is that a legitimate way to amend our Constitution? You don't like the results, the people vote it down, and then you go and you destroy their governments and establish a puppet government, and that puppet government doing the will of Washington, D.C. ratifies the amendment? Is that a legitimate amendment? Is that a legitimate way to deal with our constitutional republic? No, 1,000 times no. They violated the law. That Reconstruction Amendment, the 14th Amendment, I believe is illegitimate to this day. In the 15th Amendment, they did the same thing with. It's like you cannot go down and destroy a duly elected government just because you don't like the outcome of that government. That's the federal government violating the powers of the states, violating the God-given rights of the citizens of those states who elected their representatives in their state house and elected their governor of their state house. That is a act of war. And indeed, basically, Reconstruction was a continuing war done on the political level and on the economic level against the southern states as they reconstructed them into what they wanted, which was subservient slaves of Washington, D.C. So I don't think the 14th Amendment was legally ratified. And I would be – there's interesting things that I've read about some of the southern states. Louisiana, I think it was in the 60s, issued a resolution saying we don't recognize the 14th Amendment. It was not legally ratified. And I think there's a couple other southern states that did things along those lines. So I think it would be a good thing for our federal government to repent of the sin of the ratification of the 14th and the 15th Amendment. These were not done legally. These were not done legitimately. And if they are to be done, they should be proposed as new amendments to the Constitution and eliminated here because the process by which they were done was completely illegal.
Well, we're out of time, David. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
It's been a blessing. Thank you, Dr. Stan. God bless you.
Seven years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and of course, David was questioning the 14th and 15th Amendment, the ratification. Basically, you have to understand that this globalist movement's been around for a long time. These people who hate America and have always wanted to use America to bring about the one-world government. A friend of mine, Bill Benson, actually went around to every state and checked out the ratification of the 16th and 17th Amendments. 16th Amendment for income tax, 17th Amendment, the direct election of senators, so that no longer would the senators represent the states. Now they could be bought and sold by the globalists, which is, of course, what they do. Where do you think all the money comes for the senators' elections? It comes from the globalists who want to be able to control the senators to push their goal of the one-world government, the one-world religion, the one world leader. Well, ladies and gentlemen, these things are not imaginary. They're very, very real. And you must understand these things are going on today, and we do hope that many of you will want to get involved, get the information of the 16th Amendment and 17th Amendment were never legally ratified, and they simply lied in Washington, D.C. about their ratification. When you understand that and so much of what's going on, things begin to make sense. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You certainly need to get the book, Satanic Crimes, and the four CD set that goes with that, the book, the 4-CD set on the supernatural and the book that goes with that, The Beautiful Side of Evil. Because, of course, there already is amazing power when you tap into the dark side. And it is these demonic forces that are pushing us towards world government. The nation today is heading into financial chaos. You need to hear my talks on the financial tsunami, financial Armageddon, the syllabuses that go with both of those. Or you need to get the DVD on the surveillance society put out by Dr. Kaufman Albrecht. They really are watching you. They listen to every one of your telephone calls through Project Echelon long before terrorism has nothing to do with terrorism. They listen to every call everywhere in the world. And they violate all of our laws, but they're above the law. They are the elite. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I've been to their headquarters at 58 East 68th Street in New York City. I've been through their files. They were planning on getting us into the Second World War in 1938, even before, of course, the Second World War started in 1939, and they're planning on bringing us into another horrible and terrible war with the Muslim world. They're planning, of course, on having chaos in this country. They're intentionally destroying our economy. We could cure this tomorrow by having tariffs and by establishing banks that would lend to the people. Instead of that, all of the major banks are tied into the Brotherhood of Darkness. And I'm talking, if you get the membership list of the Trilateral Commission, the Council.